Well, long ago, according to the Old Testament of the Bible, thank you, a good man named Noah sensed a change in the weather. The story says that God told Noah that because the people had become wicked, God was going to flood them all off the face of the earth. What do you think about that? Scary, eh? God's creation had been a bad idea. And God was going to start all over again with Noah and his family, and not just them, but the other innocent creatures of the earth. That's why God told Noah to build a big boat called an ark, and to load it with his family and food, and also every kind of critter and their food. Now, we don't know if God actually visited Noah in his silver dressing gown and slippers, or in her golden pajamas and flip-flops. Maybe not. But we know that Noah, the good man, came to a deep understanding. Perhaps by leading people like Noah to a deep understanding is how God gets his or her work done. I like that idea. Noah understood that he and his family could not prosper and refill the earth without the other creatures, the dog and the cat for company, the goat, sheep, and cattle for food and clothing, the tiger to make people respectful in the wild places, and to understand that if people lived by eating other creatures, plants and animals, they could appear to some creatures, lion and flea, to be nothing more than a tasty snack. After all, it's only fair. If the story be true, we should be glad that Noah's understanding extended far beyond the selfish concerns of the people that made God so angry in the first place, so as to see humans as existing in a family of all life on earth, and one for which we humans have a large responsibility. Yeah, and if the story isn't exactly true, we could still use it as a good reminder. So, let's take that song we know so very well, Old MacDonald, and turn it around as in Old Man Noah built an ark. And if you're like me, and you get to singing this song, you're probably going to miss Old Man Noah, and you're going to turn it into Old MacDonald. And if you do that, take a point off. Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. And on this ark there was a dove, E-I-E-I-O. With a flutter, flutter here, a flutter, flutter there. Here a flutter, there a flutter, everywhere a flutter, flutter. Old Mac- 1 point off for me, E-I-E-I-O. Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. And on this ark there was a dog, E-I-E-I-O. With an arf, arf here, and an arf, arf there. Here an arf, there an arf, everywhere an arf, arf. Flutter, flutter here, and a flutter, flutter there. Here a flutter, there a flutter, everywhere a flutter, flutter. Old Man Noah had ark, E-I-E-I-O. Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. And on this ark he had a sheep, E-I-E-I-O. With a bat here and a bat there. Here a bah, there a bah, everywhere a bah, bah. Woof, woof here and a woof, woof there. Here a woof, there a woof, everywhere a woof, woof. Flutter, flutter here and a flutter, flutter there. Here a flutter, there a flutter, everywhere a flutter, flutter. Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. Now Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. And on this ark he had some fleas, E-I-E-I-O. With a scritch scratch here and a scritch scratch there. Here a scritch, there a scratch, everywhere a scritch scratch. Old Man Noah built an ark, E-I-E-I-O. Well, let me tell you, I worked this out. If we were to sing a verse of this song for each species of critters living here on earth today, and leaving out the lengthy repeats, we would be singing day and night, Christmas and Sundays, for close to 100 years. The earth is the ark, folks. And we're all called upon to be Noah. We're all Noah on the ark. E-I-E-I-O. Thank you.
Sounds to me like that ark was pretty crowded. Our earth is pretty crowded too. A lot of us living creatures share this planet together, a fact that makes it extra important that we strive to understand and care for one another. My homily today is about what happens when we don't understand each other. This one is a little bit more serious than my usual animal blessing homily. It's based on something that happened to me last spring. It's about kids and dogs. Some people love dogs. Some people love kids. I love dogs and kids. Because I love both dogs and kids, it breaks my heart when I see misunderstandings between people who love dogs and people who love kids. Last spring, my friend, her husband, and their two daughters came to visit us in Victoria. I picked them up from the ferry and brought them to my favorite brunch place, the Village Restaurant on Estevan Avenue, after which we walked to Willows Beach. The girls, ages 5 and 7, were delighted to play on the beach. As my friend and I watched the girls build sandcastles with their dad, we chatted and noted the many dogs being walked on the beach. My friend mentioned that her girls are afraid of dogs and complained that dog owners don't seem to be sensitive to that fact. Having been a dog owner, as well as a parent, I tried to build a bit of a diplomatic bridge, pairing empathy for her and her children with a suggestion that perhaps it wasn't that the dog owners were irresponsible or mean, so much as they just didn't understand. I get it now, I said, but before I had kids, I didn't get how a fear of dogs worked. When my little dog approached someone, I would often reassure the person by saying, "It's okay, he's friendly." But now I know that whether my dog is friendly or not doesn't matter to someone who's afraid of dogs. Knowing that the dog won't hurt them doesn't take away that fear response they feel when the dog bounds over to them and sniffs them or licks them. My friend noted also that even when a dog is friendly, the owner doesn't know what the kid might do to the dog. She herself has tried to teach her kids to be gentle and careful with dogs, but sometimes kids can do things to hurt or scare dogs on accident that make the dog snap back. Whether it's kids or dogs, I agreed, again building that diplomatic bridge, I think our job as those who care for them is to teach the beings we love to be respectful of others and set boundaries so they don't get hurt or hurt others. At some point in the conversation, my friend made a statement that inevitably makes my blood boil. She said, with a tone of incredulous judgment, "Some people treat their dogs like they are human, like their pet is their child. It's ridiculous." I started to carefully, diplomatically defend those of us who treat our dogs like children. For as a Unitarian Universalist, I believe in treating all beings with respect and compassion. I don't believe that humans are inherently more worthy of compassion than animals. But our conversation was interrupted when a medium-sized mixed breed with high spirits trotted up to our group and made a beeline for her girls. In a quick swirl of chaos, many things happened at once. The girls shrieked in fear and did what you're not supposed to do, ran. The dog, who thought this was a fun game, of course, chased the older girl, barking and jumping. The owner ineffectively called for her dog to come back to her. The parents tried to shoo the dog away and get their kids to draw near. As the older girl ran, she stumbled and fell down and burst into tears. The owner grabbed her dog, apologized rather weakly, and walked on down the beach. After a little while and some comforting kisses and hugs, the girls recovered and continued their beach play. I took on a more protective guardian role. As other dogs approached our area, I walked up to each of them with a friendly, "Hello, puppy," and gave them a nice pat and scratch, and politely asked their owners if they wouldn't mind, please, walking around our little group, as the children were afraid of dogs. Most people were happy to do so, and I gratefully thanked them for their kindness. But one dog owner, who I noticed had been chatting with the first dog owner farther down the beach, was not so nice. As I approached her and her dog with a friendly smile, before I could get three words out, "Would you mind?" she cut me off with a mean-spirited, "For Pete's sake, he's not going to hurt your children." I was shocked. Why was she being so hostile? I've thought about this incident a lot since then. I think it comes down to a lack of understanding, perhaps a lack of empathy, which goes with understanding. I don't think the dog owner understood what it's like for children who are afraid of dogs, including friendly dogs. And I suspect that she thought we didn't understand what it is like for her and her dog. Perhaps she thought that we thought humans are more important than dogs, that the little beings we cherished were more important than the being that she cherished. I wished I could build a bridge of understanding for everyone involved. I wished I could explain to the dog owners, some kids, some people, are afraid of dogs. It doesn't matter if your dog is friendly. I didn't get it either, but I have since learned telling a person that my dog won't hurt them doesn't always take away the fear. Even the sweetest, smallest, most harmless dog can still seem scary to some people. Think about how some people are afraid of spiders. Some dog owners do understand this. Sometimes when I'm walking with kids on trails or beaches, I notice dog owners that call their dogs to heel or leash their dogs as they pass us. I'm so touched by that. What a thoughtful thing to do. What a lovely way to be respectful and caring of others. So I wish that way of being could be explained to the dog owners. And I wish that I could explain to people like my friend, as I did, in fact, try to explain to my friend, just how precious, how valuable a pet can be. Pets can become integral members of the family, companions of the heart. Their love, their antics, their simple being can open the heart of the crankiest curmudgeon. Animals are good for people. We can love them with the same strength of love with which we love people, sometimes more. And when we lose a pet, the loss can be as deep as the loss of any other family member. So when I hear of a person or family that treats their pet like their child, I think, wonderful. That animal is bringing love to this world and is getting love in return, as it should be. I presume I am preaching to the converted here. Perhaps some of you can join me in my quest to bridge that gap of understanding. We're all in this together. We need to do what we can to be kind, to live with compassion for all creatures, dogs, as well as people who are afraid of dogs, cats, as well as birds who are afraid of cats, and cats who are afraid of birds. If you've ever seen a crow dive bomb a cat, you know what I'm talking about. Our mission focus in this church year is living with compassion. Living compassionately starts with striving to understand one another, asking one another, what is it like for you? And really listening to the answer. May it be so for all of us.
I'm Anna, this is my reluctant sister Sarah, and this is our dog Lily. And Lily brings constant happiness. I've never seen her upset, and that's great.
My name is Ted. And this is Fred. Which in our household is a little confusing. But Fred is a great reminder of our past dog, Kira, that we had for 12 years. And when Ruth and I lost her, Ruth was decimated. Really felt she was lost. We looked around for another dog, couldn't find one. And then Fred was in used Victoria. So, this is how I came to get Fred. And Ruth and Fred just clicked right off. Great. Didn't they, Fred? Hey, yeah, you can see, he's a friendly dog.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gloria, and this is Waldo. Waldo brings the playful side out in me, and it's wonderful to have the unconditional love that he brings.
This is Muffin, and she's a recovery dog, and she's really cute, and she's a Roman Catholic.
This is Lily Jack Russell, and Lily came to us 8 years ago in the middle of a dreadful snowstorm in Nelson. Our last Jack Russell was 18, and she passed away a week later. So she made sure we had a replacement. So she brings the gift of boundless energy and love.
This is my cat, Willow. She's a rescue cat and her pet mouse. Willow was terrified when she came. She hid behind the wood box for 24 hours and wouldn't come out. What she brings to me is companionship and calming. She sits in my lap now and purrs. It's wonderful.
Hi. So my name is Catalina, and this is my mom, Kathy, and this is our dog, Toby. And we've had Toby since I was 3, and he has lived in 3 different countries with us. So he is a constant reminder that it's important to smile every day.